Good to be back with you in this preaching capacity. It's my understanding that you were well treated while I was gone, that you heard from the Word each week, and I'm grateful. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and hold them up in the air. This is Palm Sunday, and I'm going to ask that you would turn to that familiar passage in Luke chapter 19. All four Gospels record this passage, but this is the one that really highlights where I would need to go today. In Luke chapter 19, you can follow along in your Bibles or pew Bible that you might find in the rack in front of you, or you can just look up on the screen. It should be there. I'm going to start with verse 28. Give you a moment to get there. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Now, just a little note there. You always go up to Jerusalem. You never go down. You know this. Right? It's lofty spiritually, but it's also on a mount, if you will, Temple Mount platform, which is where they would be going. And so you always went up, even if you were north of Jerusalem, you would still go up to Jerusalem. Here we go. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen." Can somebody shut that kid up? No, Amen, please, you can keep her. I'm kidding. Don't you dare take her out. Terrible grandpa. Here we go. Oh, now I'm all embarrassed. Okay. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out." During the time of my sabbatical, I did a lot of observing. I didn't do a lot of speaking. I did a lot of observing, absorbing as much as I could possibly get. And one of those times, I went out to breakfast by myself, which I do a lot, actually, just to get some peace before I come into the office. I'll just spend some time in my favorite diner. It's cheap food and good food. And so I go there, and while I was there, I sat at a booth, and I looked at the booth right next to me, and there were two men facing me and two men with their backs to me on a four-man booth, and then a man had brought up his chair at the end of the table. So there was five men there, and I was facing them, and it was relatively quiet in the diner. And so this particular diner oftentimes has church groups come in, women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, and they'll just sit there, and they'll be there for hours around that breakfast booth and just studying the Bible. And so I'm used to seeing that. And this group had a bunch of ties on and jackets. They were young people, and it just kind of had that sense that this is a group of Christian brothers. Well, so I kind of leaned into their conversation, as it were. I wasn't eavesdropping. I was just leaning in. And and the fact is, I was quiet, and they were relatively loud, and so as they were talking, they were talking about church, and so I listened, and everything out of the mouths of those five men were complaining about their church. They complained about this, and they complained about that, and it went on and on for my whole breakfast. I was kind of ramping up in my heart to say something, but I didn't, and I just listened, and then they started talking about the hymns. And, you know, I wondered, okay, where are we going to go with the hymns? Because, you know, that's a debate that we have even in our own church. And that debate's going to continue on until Jesus comes. Just want to let you know that. But the idea of hymns, well, so I listen. And the guy said, "Oh, I just love the hymns. I just wish they would play them one time without the drums." And I thought to myself, just play them like they were written. I'm thinking, brother, do you recognize when we get to heaven, we're going to sing the hymns, if we sing the hymns that are good, and we're going to sing our songs, the songs that are good. Or maybe we'll just sing the songs that God wrote. Whatever the case may be, we're going to be singing with loud clanging cymbals like God has ordained in Psalm 150. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have loud clanging cymbals with every hymn. But the point is, if that was what was he was complaining about, understand that God loves a lot of lively singing by his people. Are you with me, church? All right, you may not like the thought, but it's true. So then after all of the complaining was done, then they said, okay, let's pray for one another. What can we do to pray for one another? What's your prayer request? And that was really quiet, not many prayer requests, and a couple came up. I got up from my table, and I wanted to go over them to them and say, would you please pray for your pastor and for your church? I thought to myself, is this what people do when they leave church and go out to dinner? Do they talk about all the things that are wrong with this church? There wasn't one word of praise from those people. I'm thinking, is there nothing about the church that all five Christian men go to that they couldn't praise the Lord for? I'm here to tell you this morning, from this passage, you were created by God to praise him. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into it pretty heavy. You may not even believe half the stuff I say today, but it's all going to be backed up by Scripture. So would you pray with me? Loving Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house and to know according to your promise, and we cling to that, that you are in this room with us. We don't know what you're going to do with every life here, but Lord, we do ask that you would touch it and draw it closer to you. Father, we also ask that you would speak during this time to our hearts, and we're all in different places in our life, both relationally and just in experience. And Father, I pray that you would meet us where we are and that you would use me somehow as your instrument to communicate what you would have for your people today. That you would remind them somehow through these words that they are created to praise. And Father, I ask that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed, that you would work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, and that we would leave here saying, praise the Lord for all the things he has done. Now, Father, would you bless this hour for your glory and for your kingdom's advance, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I was considering the day I was coming back, and by the way, that was in limbo for quite a while. Some wanted me out for 3 months, but I figured all the stuff would be out of my office if I came back after 3 months. I really, really felt that this was the right time, and I knew I'd be coming back on Palm Sunday. I said, okay, Lord, what would you have me share with your people? We're in this line of messages on following Jesus, so what would you have? And I went over the passage of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the colt. And by the way, another theological lesson here. Every once in a while, people will bring up a contradiction in the Scripture about the colt. Some will say, well, you know, it says there was a mama colt and her female, a mama donkey and her female colt with her. And yet this passage says they just untied the one colt, and then this one says there's only the one, and so there's a contradiction. Can I share with you that there's no contradiction? Just put the four Gospels together and you settle the argument. There was a colt, a foal of a donkey, it was a female colt, it says, on which no one had ever ridden. Jesus would be the first one, this King of Kings would be riding, he would be the first person ever, and her mama was right next to her. A colt that was never ridden would not be separated from her mother, so they bought them both, and the donkey would be alongside as Jesus rode on the colt. So some just highlight the colt, others highlight both of them. Do you understand what was going on here? No contradiction, just need to understand there's four, and they all have to come together, and they come together so smoothly. So anyway, as I was looking at this, I said, okay, Lord, what would you have me teach? And verse 40 struck me. The Pharisees said, teacher, tell them to stop. And Jesus said, if these people do not praise me, the very stones will praise me. Now, let me ask you, church. Jesus said it, so it's okay to say amen. But with your amen, do you really believe that stones, these inanimate objects, would have praised Jesus if the crowd was silent? Say amen if you believe it. It's okay to agree with Jesus. It really is. If you think he's just saying things, and you say, well, I think he's just talking, it's hyperbole. I want to walk you through that. As I consider the triumphal entry in my mind and what was going on there, you know, I think of the children shouting these loud hosannas, but it doesn't say that the children shout the loud hosannas. It says that the, that the adults did, the crowds, the people. And I have to tell you, people, adults, you should be leading the way in praising the Lord for your children. It shouldn't be the children who come up on stage and praise the Lord and say, oh, how cute. You adults should be leading the way. And can I tell you, there's nothing better than when I hear adults praising God. And there's nothing better than hearing men praise the Lord. Now, ladies, take the hit. I'm a guy. There's nothing better than hearing men who get off their pride for a second or whatever and say, I don't care. I'm going to lead. And I'm going to praise the Lord. My grandfather, who was a hero of my life, my grandfather was a big 6'1" or so fella, and he was a farm guy, and he had a big belly and big arms and big hands. And I tell you what, he went to church, and he used to belt out the hymns. He couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but he would belt it out. And he showed me that men who love Jesus sing real loud. Now, you may say, well, I can't sing. We're going to address that in just a minute. But the idea is that all of these people were shouting in megaphone. That's the Greek, in megaphone, in loud or large voices. They were praising God, and you get this idea of the Hosanna. Let me bring all four Gospels together and what they record they were saying. They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna. That's all four gospel accounts together. We think of the people walking by and they would cut off palm branches. That's where we get Palm Sunday from. And they would lay them before the donkey and they would kind of lead a procession with these plants. And they would take their cloaks off and they'd put it on the donkey so that Jesus could sit on their cloaks and not bareback. And then they would put their cloaks and they would allow even the donkey to walk on top of it because the donkey was carrying the King of Kings. Do you follow me? And they're all going through this, and they can't contain their praise. And so the Pharisees say, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop. And Jesus says, if they don't, the stones will. I hope you believe that. Because all of creation was created to praise the Creator. Now, I want to take you to Revelation chapter 5, if you'll turn in your Bibles. This gets fun. Gets a little crazy, but gets fun. Revelation chapter 5 is a passage we've been in a few times over the last half a year or so. We're going to start with verse 6, and this is John's observations. You're still with me, right? All right. I get to preach 7 times longer since I haven't been here in 7 weeks. Is that all right? I won't do that to you. It's regular time. Here we go, verse 6. John's writing, he says, I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by 4 living creatures and the 24 elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7-fold Spirit of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, which of course is 100 million. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the 24 elders, and in a loud voice, a megaphone, they sang, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the 4 living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and they worshiped. What a cacophony of sound. All the worms coming up from the ground and praising God. Did you hear that? Everything under the ground. Everything, all the fish start to sing on this spectacular day. We've got the 24 ancients, and we've got the four living creatures, and we've got the 100 million angels, and we've got everything in the air. The birds are praising the Lord, and the cattle are praising the Lord, and the worms are praising the Lord, and the fish are praising the Lord. Everything in all of creation is praising the Lord. You believe it? Fish? Ticks? How can something that's out of the pit of hell be praising the Lord, right, ticks? Everything that has life. Now, this is not unusual. Animals talk. I know you say to your cat, come, and they say, stick it in your ear. But the idea that there are animals in the scripture that talk, right? Right? Say amen. I'm not lying to you. How many of you remember two of them? How many of you remember one of them? How many of you remember none? Okay, nobody's saying anything here. Remember the serpent? Right? He had a crucial conversation. He had a deadly one. And for some reason, Adam and Eve had no problem talking to a serpent. It's my imagination, my belief that before the fall, with all the animals in perfect harmony, there was no death, they weren't eating meat, they weren't eating each other, and it was just simply harmonious. I believe the animals probably talked to each other and probably talked to Adam. He came and he named him, this is going to be your name, whatever, before the fall. You can't prove me wrong, you can't prove me right. But the point is that animals were being spoken to. Adam and Eve standing there having a conversation with a serpent. And then you remember a fellow named Balaam. Remember, now it's all coming to you, right? Balaam's riding on a donkey, and all of a sudden there's an angel standing for him, and that angel's about to kill them. And so he stops, and he eventually, after being beaten, he crushes Balaam's leg against a stone, and Balaam's going to kill this donkey, and the voice box of that donkey is released. And the donkey says, why are you doing this? Why are you striking me? And Balaam, whoa. And Balaam doesn't say, I've got to head to the nearest psychiatrist. He says, he has a conversation with the donkey. And he says, because you have done this, I am angry at you, and I'm ready to kill you. And he says, have I done anything like this before? I've been your donkey for... And they're having a conversation. All of creation, the bugs, the worms, the birds, the fish, the people, the angels, will declare the praise of our Savior because they were created. Everything that has life in it was created to praise the Lord. But everything that doesn't have life in it was created to praise the Lord too. Did you know that? The stones will cry out. And you say, well, Pastor, now you're pushing it because that's inanimate. Let's go over to Psalm 19 for a minute. Can we do that? Let's go over to Psalm 19. I think we have to get beyond our extremely limited capacity to understand our Creator and what He created. That everything in all of creation is subject to the Lordship of Jesus. Everything. Not just the things that have a heart that pumps blood, but everything, including the stars and the sun and the moon and all that in the galaxies. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Now you say, Pastor, come on now. That's just a figurative, right? It's like a piece of artwork is declaring the maker, the painter's talent. It's just figurative, Pastor. All right, well, let me take you back to Jesus in the wilderness. Do you remember the temptations? Not the singing group. Do you remember the temptations that Satan actually did before Jesus, right? They say, what does he say now? He says, if you are the Son of God. Now, I want to challenge your Greek on this a little bit. The Greek word for if is the Greek word I, E-I, and it has two primary meanings, and it has a few others. But the two primaries are if and since. A lot of messages have been preached on the idea that Satan's first temptation to Jesus really wasn't about the bread, but challenging his whether or not he really believed he was the Son of God by saying if. He brings doubt into it. First of all, Satan knows who Jesus is. Jesus created him. He was up there. He was Lucifer, the angel of light. Jesus kicked him out of heaven. He knows exactly who Jesus is. He's going to be there tempting him because he knows who he is. Satan also knows that Jesus knows who he is. And there's no doubt there whatsoever. I think the word really should be translated since. Now here it is. Since you are the Son of God, you have authority over even the inanimate. So command, and the words are these, command these stones to become bread. Since you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, because the stones have to hear the voice of the Creator, and they will become bread, and your hunger will be satiated. You follow that? So the stones have to listen. And if they don't praise me, the stones will. Listen, if that hasn't convinced you yet, the passage that Pastor Mike read for us of Jesus out on the sea, and they're in the boat. He goes down below decks, and he's sleeping, and a squall comes up, and the disciples are panicking. They think they're going to die. They go down to Jesus and say, "Don't you care about us? What are you going to do about this?" And he gets up, and he says, "Knock it off," to the wind and the sea. "Peace, be still," whatever words you want to use. Stop what you're doing. And what happens? The wind, that which is inanimate, and the waves, that which has no life in them, listens to the voice of the one who created them. And the disciples are so amazed, they said, "Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him." Everything on the planet that was created to praise him, and that includes you. You are created to praise the Lord. Now, some of you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm just not wired that way." No, you are wired that way. You were knit together in your mother's womb with praise as an integral part of who you are. Somewhere along the line, someone convinced you that you aren't wired that way, but you are. Now, we're not all wired the same way to worship the same way, but we're all wired to worship. Are you with me? Now, we had a woman here last night. I loved it. I loved it. I called her out in the service. She was delighted with that. But anyway, the point is, she was in the back where Walter is now, but she was standing while we were doing our singing. She's back there dancing up a storm. I'm thinking, okay, great. This is wonderful. Because she's going to demonstrate this. And now, understand, somewhere along the line, if you are not free to worship in this church, let me ask you, did you ever come here to worship? And man, you're just so doggone conservative in your affect that you can't lift your hand. It's stuck there. And you want so desperately to get that hand up there, right? But you can't, because somewhere down the line, somebody told you that's not good. The Pharisees said, "This is not right. Stop them from doing that." And Jesus said, "I can't stop them. I am the Messiah. And if they stop that, something else is going to do it." And so you stand there and say, "No, I can't do it. I can't. I want it so desperately," because you know what you're doing. You're fighting how you were wired. You're going against what God created you to do, to praise him. And so because someone has shamed you into looking, feeling like you're going to be foolish if you shout like my grandfather did without being able to sing. He still sang with all of his heart. You think you can't do that? You think you can't lift up your hands because somebody next to you? Let me tell you something. I was in a Presbyterian church, and we're doing at a funeral for a dear, dear woman. It was Ron was probably there. And for Mrs. Goodliff, do you remember that? Were you at that funeral, brother? He was there. And this is a church that's relatively conservative, at least at that time it was, in their affect. And so here, this wonderful woman, she's a mother of a dear friend of mine. And so I went there, and they were just talking about what a wonderful woman of God she was. And they were singing the song, "Holy, Holy, Holy." You're familiar with it, right? "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty." And so I'm up there, and I'm in the audience. I'm just praising the Lord, and I look around, and I see nobody else has got their arms up. And before you know it, I put my arms down. I was shamed into not praising as I was wired. Now, I got to tell you, the ones who shamed, the ones who were praising, were trying to shame them by giving them scowls, by giving them warnings. If you keep calling him the Messiah, you're going to be out of the synagogue. They were the Pharisees. And it may be that we have some Pharisees in our church. And by that I mean that somehow you shame others when they're trying to praise. Gentlemen, men, can I just talk to you for a moment? I think we've been shamed all our lives not to praise the Lord. We don't want to look ridiculous in front of somebody else. And so instead of praising the one who created us, instead of doing what we were wired to do, we're shamed. And we're shamed by Pharisees. You know, I talked to a dear friend this week. He was asking me what I was going to be preaching on when I came back to the church, and I shared with him some of my thoughts before I developed the message. He said, "Wow, I'm one of those." I said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "There'll be people in our church, and they get a little going. I just snicker at them." He said, "I realize that I actually shame them into not praising the Lord." Isn't that terrible? maybe you're a Pharisee, or maybe there have been Pharisees that are around you. Now, mind you, there is some decorum. And by that, I mean, it's about Jesus. It's not about you. And we've had people in the church before, one woman in particular, who was so wild in her praise that she became the center focus of the service. And so I called her into my office and I said, "Sister, you've got to bring this under control." She said, "I can't. This is the Spirit." I said, "The Spirit is a spirit of self-control. The gifts of the Spirit, right? Fruit of the Spirit. Self-control." And she left the church. That's okay. But the point is, our worship needs to be free. And I'm not just talking about here. You can worship in your car. You can worship other ways. And you can keep your hands down to your side. I'm fine with that if that's how you're wired. I'm trying to get everybody to be conforming to lifting your hands. I fought that for most of my life because that was not appropriate in church. Jesus said, if you don't praise him, the stones will. I went to 7 different churches. I'm going to wrap this up. Went to 7 different churches. And by the way, when I came back, I didn't say we're going to do what they're doing because I want our church to be like theirs. That wasn't the purpose. I just wanted that. First of all, I want to see people worshiping the Lord. I can go to an Episcopal church where it is as dry as dust in a lot of things and know that the Spirit of God is here and just worship in that very reverent setting. I can go to a church that seems to be off the hook experientially and just worship. I'd like to be with people that are worshiping God in all different ways. So I went to 7 different churches, and I got to tell you, one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to hear from other people preaching. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be fed a little bit. But as I watched the people praise, I noticed that there's some people that they just so... I see some of you doing it. I'm going to give you a clue as to whether or not you've been Pharisee'd into not praising. You do this when people are clapping around you. You want to clap, but clapping is out of control. Right? I would encourage you to clap. Dads, lead the way for your children. I'm wondering if some teens here don't sing out loud because dad doesn't. Not my kids. I sing off key, but I sing loud. I get that. But what's wrong with clapping to your Savior? Have we been saying? You were created to praise him. Last thing, and then we're done. What would you have done if you were among the crowd on the Mount of Olives that day as they were going into Jerusalem? What would you have done? With the Pharisees looking at you and saying, "I'm warning you, if you don't shut it down, we will put you out." And they went around the crowd and they couldn't stop the people. It says, with megaphone, with loud voices, they praised, "Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel." What would you have done in that hostile environment? You bet I would praise the Lord. You bet I would be praising Jesus. That's a hostile environment. This is not. So what's keeping you? If there's something keeping you, and I want to make a blanket statement here. If everybody in this room is praising the Lord exactly as you are wired, meaning the affect, the way you are demonstrative, if that's how you are, then that's exactly where we're going to stay, and that's perfectly fine with me. I'm not trying to make this artificial. But if you're feeling, if your toe is tapping in your foot, but you can't put your hands up or you can't clap because you feel like you might be weird, then you're being shamed into not praising the one who created you. Are you with me, church? And if you don't do it, the benches, this inanimate object, these hunks of wood are going to do it. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, as we claim to be followers of Jesus, and I believe we are. May we follow him freely. May we say praise the Lord when we're getting our bagel. Praise the Lord for the foot of snow. Father, may we praise you all the time. Because that's how you wired us. That's why you created your creation. And one day, all of it's going to praise you. One time. What an amazing day that will be. Father, I pray for freedom for this church. I pray for forgiveness for those of us who have been Pharisees, trying to stop people from praising the Lord. Lord, I ask that you would heal us, those of us who have been shamed, or we can't even come into a church setting and feel free to praise the Lord. Jesus, we want to follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to give you praise. So set us free. Father, may we be considerate of others as we are free. Lord, may we do things to honor you and not to glorify ourselves. And now, Father, if there's anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten, and may only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Church, I thank you for your attention, but I would need your attention for a couple more minutes. Pastor Peter is here. He has a very important announcement to make, and then after that, we will have the benediction. Pastor, thank you for coming forward.